Blog Talk Radio.
People, let me tell you, I work hard every day. I get up out of bed, I put on my clothes, 'cause I've got bills to pay. Now it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I've got a strong will to survive. I've got a deeper love.
Good evening, and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the road to election 2012, and we're going to be focusing in on it was the labor movement that helped secure so much of what we take for granted today, the 40-hour work week, the minimum wage, family leave, health issues, health insurance, Social Security, Medicare, retirement plans, the cornerstones of the middle class security, all bear the union label. Now, last night we had the last of the presidential debate with Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama. And one thing that Mitt Romney talked about was getting rid of Obamacare. He talked about getting rid of PBS and Big Bird on a previous conversation. But when we start talking about things that we need to get rid of, we need to focus in on how important it is to have the family leave and health insurance. We need to focus in on who's entitled to this. So the first thing I want as my listening audience to view and to understand, when you start working on any of these jobs, the first thing you should do is to ask your employer about the FMLA, which is the acronym for the Family and Medical Leave Act. The Family and Medical Leave Act can be of assistance if you need to take time off of work because of family responsibilities. The first step is to ask your employer what family and medical leave and benefits are provided to the employees. They may provide additional benefits like paid maternity leave, for example, that are required by law, or if you are ill, you may be eligible for disability insurance. So it's very important that this is just some of the things that's very important, and, even with insurance that under Obama, President Obama, we're now able to secure our adult children on our insurance until they get to be at least 26 years old. So it's very important that we look into this. You want to know how it works? Under the Family Medical Leave Act covers, employers must grant an eligible employee up to a total of 12 work weeks of unpaid leave during any 12-month period for one or more of the following reasons. It could be the birth and care of the newborn child of the employee. It could be for placement with the employee of a son or daughter for adoption or foster care, to care for an immediate family member, spouse, child, or parent with a serious health condition, or to take medical leave when the employer is unable to work because of serious health condition. And so these are some of the issues, and so many of our people are not aware of the FMLA, and also the military has the FMLA, and the following amendments are part of the National Defense Authorization Act, and which went into effect January 16, 2009, and with an extended coverage to employees with spouses, children, or parents who are now serving on or who have been called up for active duty in the military for up to 12 weeks, again, of unpaid leave for a qualified emergency arising from a family member active military duty. So it's very important that we become very involved with and educated on what is going on in our lives when it comes to the Family Leave Act and other issues that are maintained. All right, so here we are on this situation here with the Family Leave Act and what needs to be done. Also, you're dealing with the 40-hour work week, the 40-hour work week. What does that all entail with the 40-hour work week? Well, you know, in 2009, I believe it is, China implemented the 40-hour work week and with half-day work days on Saturdays. But here in the United States, sometimes a 40-hour work week is not even enough for a family of a single person working a 40-hour work week to pay for a two-bedroom apartment. So in most cases, it takes two adults working a 40-hour work week to pay for a two-bedroom apartment. So these are just some of the issues that we're speaking of, and I look forward to hearing from you if you have some concerns or some suggestions on how do we move forward in this economic time of our lives. The call-in number here is 713-955-0678. Again, that number is 713-955-0678. I look forward to hearing from you because I want to know what's your opinion of that, of the upcoming election. And I want to know how many of you went out last night. Yesterday was the first day for early voting in the Chicago in the state of Illinois. And how many of you stood in line and waited very patiently and held conversations and discussions with the people in line on early voting? And my understanding, following the people, that this year's early voting was the largest early voting, I believe about 13,000 people came out to vote. Early voting is going on here in Illinois from October 22nd to November 3rd, and then which is only 13 days. We only have 13 days, but it's very important that we get up and get out and cast our vote for early voting. It's just really a shame that yesterday, as I mentioned before, I had gone out and some of the people said, I'm not going to stand in that line. The line is too long. But yet and still, my brothers and sisters, you stand in line. You stand in line for Black Friday. You stand in line for concert tickets. You stand in line for anything that's not as important as the right to vote. There are so many reasons why you need to get up, get out, and register and exercise that right of yours to vote. There's no excuses. Voters, there's no need to provide an excuse or no reason why you cannot make it to the polls on election day. You need only to fill out your application, which you've registered already. Get up and go to the polls. We have suffered so much in our lives that you are not getting up to exercise your right to vote. And for me to hear people saying yesterday, I'm not standing in line, the line's too long. Look how long the line is. I got things to do. But you know what? Our ancestors, they died and they stood in line to fight for the right for you to exercise that right to vote. So I'm asking and pleading, including my young men and women ages 18 to 29, get up, take your souls to the polls, because if you don't exercise that right to vote, you have no voice to complain. You have no need to complain about the school system. You have no right to complain about the park district. You have no need to complain about any city services or anything that's happening in and around your community. When you exercise your right to vote, then you have a right to complain about the services that you are not getting. So it's very important that you exercise that right to vote, exercise it, get out, and in fact, take someone with you to the polls. When you take a neighbor or a loved one to the polls with you, now we're fighting that exclusion with inclusion to get out and exercise that right to vote. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back.
I put on the clothes, 'cause I got bills to pay. Now it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I've got a strong will to survive. I've got a deeper love, a deeper love, a deeper love inside. And I call it pride, a deeper love, pride, a deeper love.
All right, we are back with In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte, and we're talking about what we need to do to survive a 40-hour week, family leave, Social Security, minimum wage. We're also talking about the upcoming election, state and local, and the presidential election. We have a call on the line. Let's see if we have a caller here. Welcome, caller, to In the Know with Mo. You're live on the line. Hello? Hello? I can't hear you calling. Can you speak up a little bit?
I'm not on the phone, am I?
Yes, you are. You're live on the line.
Oh, wow. How you doing, Mo?
That's fine. How are you?
Okay. This is Eddie. I didn't know. I didn't push the number one. I was listening in to make sure that I caught everything before I wanted to reply.
Well, you're live on the line. We're talking about, we have so many issues here. I had to take a break for a moment because I had a caller, and I needed to screen that caller because some things we're not going to allow on the line, especially if you're calling in, want to make a negative comment about our president, our first black President Barack Obama. Those comments I'm not going to allow, period. We have fought so hard as a race of people, and we never found any complaints or concerns that we needed to address with the past white presidents. But when we get a president of color, now we're trying to find a fault and everything else, and I can't recall any of the white presidents that I have voted for in my lifetime to ever came to my neighborhood to address anything. You know, so those of you who are in my listening area, please don't call in with negativity because it won't go across my line here. What are you doing, I'm asking, what are you doing to make a difference in your community? What are you doing to help elevate the minds of our young people? Welcome, Mr. Eddie Harris. And for those of you listening in, Eddie Harris is the author of Take the Chains Off Your Brain. And I think everyone listening needs to purchase his book and sit down and read it because it has some pertinent information in it. And he is going to be my guest tomorrow evening for those of you who are listening. Welcome, Eddie. I'm just so fired up.
We need that fired energy, and we need it to be directed in a positive way, which I see that's what you're doing, to keep everybody on a positive note. We all need to do that and reach out within us. That's our problem right now. I'm coming up with a solution that I've been given to just write it down in a song, because we have no national anthems of old today that will give us that inspiration and motivation that we need. We got it. We just need to spark it again, you know.
As far as the
voting right now, I'd like to remind the voters to please look over the whole and go through the whole voting list and to make sure that you vote for the mendorandum for Illinois, especially dealing with Stand Your Ground. They must slip that in, and a lot of people might not be aware that it's on the ballot. So they must vote for that. You know, and as far as them looking at the candidates, just look at who is talking about anything dealing with war and who's talking about not. See, war is money. See, so you see the candidate, I don't need to mention any names, who's talking about a bigger fund for the defense budget that's not asked for. You know, but see, that's the implication that we are preparing for war. This is what I want. See, so we got to read not only between the lines, but directly what's being told to us and get away from the garbage, the negativity, you know, because that's what's going to get us. Just like a word that you mentioned, race. Well, the candidates are in a race. We're not a race. We're a nation, and we got to get back to that. We are a nation within a nation who've been treated so bad, we go on words that don't pertain to who we really are.
Right,
But like I said, that's for another story. We're talking about the president and what we need to do. So like I said, my reminder is that stand your ground. We know what happened to our brother Trayvon Martin. Don't forget.
Yes.
Trying to implicate these laws so it will happen in these states. It's 8 states that have these on the ballots. We have to be aware, you know. So that's the comment I wanted to make, and I want to hang up and listen to you and listen to anybody else's positive rebuttals. And I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Well, I look forward to talk with you tomorrow, too, because did you vote? Did you do early voting?
Not yet, because I want to make sure, and since you brought that up, that hopefully it's the same ballot in those mendorandums, and I'm doing some research on the judges that I need to vote for, you know, before I go in there, because I want to be, like we all need to be educated on not just the president, but these local election officials that we're voting for that has positive impact on our lives and our children.
And I'm glad you mentioned the judges because, and I know you're trying to get off, but I'm glad you mentioned the judges. People don't realize how important the judges are in our lives. You know, we go to court and we take an attorney with us, but it's the judges that make that final call on whether or not you're going to be a convicted or non-convicted felon, or you're going to be charged or sentenced. And there's one judge in particular I am asking everyone, and I'm supporting 100%, and that's Judge Brim. She's a young lady, and she had a little medical breakout in Markham Courthouse. But, like, we're supporting and praying for the well-being of the Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. We need to hold and keep this one also in prayer because she's a fantastic judge, and she's a very fair judge. And so she is up for retention along with Pamela Beal. So these are people we need to really embrace and keep, and we need to study the judges because it's nothing like going before a judge. And what happens? If you don't know the judge, you're out an attorney. You need to know the fairness of judge. Now, there's a judge that's handling the Howard Morgan case. For me, he doesn't need to be retained. He needs to be let go and be gone.
Exactly. This is why I said I had to do my research and investigation before I went in, you know, as a lot of people feel about the black populace that we're uneducated. The thing is, we are, and we need to educate one another, those that are not, you know, too well versed in the little things we know. You know, the thing is, if you don't care about what you're doing, then as in return, the system or people don't care about you. And this is how people visit who we are when they come politicizing in their parties. See, they look at, you know, they have no interest, you know.
Right,
so they're
right.
not interested. And if they're not interested in the political system, then we're not interested in them. And it's not the interest, it's just the education that we have to tug each other. See, because they took civics out of school. So we got to each other to school and school one another. See, because that's the whole thing breaks down the whole educational system. It's broken. So we have to pick up pieces and educate each other because we know. We keep saying it's up to us to fix us. We got to stop all the belonging and stop saying him, and her.
Right, look
at the man in the mirror and say, what, like you said, what am I doing? What can I do? See, because the negativity ain't getting us nowhere.
There's a young man just sent a chat message in for you, Mr. Eddie Harris, and his name is Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin says, please extend my thanks to the brother. He enjoyed your interview, and he looks forward to your interview tomorrow night. I have put out that you're going to be speaking on prejudice and racism and relationships. So he says he just wanted to thank the brother, and that's Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. You know, so many times we have people on our radio and even in our lives, period, nobody bothers to say thank you. You know, we all have a ministry, and for someone to chat, send a chat message in to thank you, because the conversation we had last time, you were on, really hit home. You know, so you just want to say thank you, Kevin.
I like to say thank you back to Kevin. All praises and blessings to Kevin and anybody else who I might have touched, you know, because that's it. You know, that's our key, to touch one another. We got away from that. You know, he texted. That's great. The texting that he did, the information he gave is what I needed, you know, to keep me going. But we have to keep one another going. We have to tap into that. That it keeps us motivated, because all this negativity, it does, it wears on a person. But we got to look within, because everything starts within. Like, you know, tomorrow we'll talk on church, and the church is who we are. C-H-U-R-C-H. You're the church.
Yeah.
It starts with you. You know, your temple is not clean. Your mind isn't clean. Your body isn't clean. You aren't clean. I don't care how good you look on the outside. You dirty on the inside. You know?
And, you know, Reverend Sharpton was here Sunday at my church, and he spoke for two services, and he made the comment similar to what you just stated. And he said that so many people go to church services every Sunday. They break the doors down, get into church service. But once they enter the church and they're into the service, there's no service after the church. You know, so you go to the service, but what service are you to the people after you leave? You know, so we're going, I mean, it was a very deep statement. I probably paraphrased it, but, you know, don't just go to church, to the church service. Be of some service. You know, if we have more people actively involved, like yourself or myself, I mean, things would probably be a little bit better.
That's it.
I don't know.
And that's it. We have to learn that the giving is the serving, and in the giving is the receiving, you know, and that's always been the key that we've missed. We always look at monetarily gaining from giving.
The key is
the giving of truth, love, knowledge, you know, that takes not from you but adds to you.
And once
we understand that and stop being complacent to where most of us are, I hate to say, we got caught up into the integration of assimilation and imitation and forgot our God-given gift of innovation, being the inventors, producers, and creators that we are, and stop consuming. Our power is in that ability to stop the consuming and start the inventing and the producing and the creating. We constantly say we produce nothing, but the production that we've actually produced, we spent no time with our children.
Right.
That's what we've produced, and we haven't spent any time with our children and each other. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have another call. We have a caller, another caller. Let me see if we can pull this other caller. Good evening, caller from 897. You're live on the line with In the Know with Mo. Hello.
Good evening, Mo. This is Wendy Casey.
Good evening, Wendy Casey. Wendy Casey, I have Brother Eddie Harris on the line. also Eddie Harris. Wendy Casey is a young sister in the community in the South Suburbs, is doing some great things too. And I just want to welcome you to the show, Miss Wendy Casey. And I understand that you are running for office.
Yes, ma'am. I am running for mayor of the Village of Dixmoor.
Wow. Well, hold on for one second, Miss Wendy. Mr. Eddie Harris, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. And please, we are off a half hour tomorrow night with Mr. Eddie Harris, the author of Take the Chains Off Your Brain. And we're going to be speaking on two or more of his chapters tomorrow evening. Mr. Eddie Harris, I want to thank you for being on my show tonight.
Thank you, and good evening to Ms. Casey, and you have a nice conversation, and I'll be listening in.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
Ms.
you have a nice
evening.
Yes,
Ms.
ma'am.
Casey, I am so proud to hear that you are running for the position of mayor. What city is that again? Dixmoor?
The village of Dixmoor.
The village
South
of Dixmoor.
Suburbs.
The South Suburbs. Now, this past Saturday, I was at the municipal conference fundraiser or party sponsored by Robinson Engineering at Navy Pier, and all the mayors and elected officials were there. And as when they called all the mayors to come to the stage, I was just really, really not happy to see that it was the Good Old Boys Network. On that stage were only three women mayors: the mayor Vivian Covington from University Park, Mayor Martin from Olympia Fields, and Mayor Brody from Robbins. And the rest of the mayors that were present were all men. So I commend you on that move moving forward. I did see whoever represents that community. You know, I do believe not to give the power to the people if you're not that person that I'm speaking with. So I commend you. So is there anything we can do to assist you in your run for your seat for mayor of Dixmoor?
Yes, it is. I would very much would ask for the support of getting the voters, the residents, to come to the meetings. They are twice a month, and it's very shameful. It is scary that you will only have 5 to 10 residents attending a meeting twice a month out of 3,100 residents in the community. So when it's time to go to the vote, to the polls to vote, these folks have no clue who they're voting for and why they're voting for them. So that's why the school board and our school system and our community is in the situation that they're in. They're only voting based upon name popularity, and it needs to stop because name popularity is not moving our community forward, and it's time for a change.
Exactly. And so Ms. Wendy Payton, we are running so close out of time, but I want to thank you, and I'm going to have you back on the show. And I want to thank you for tuning in to In the Know with Mo. And my listening audience, I want to thank you, my friends and supporters. I want you to tune in tomorrow night when my guest will be Mr. Eddie Harris. His brother is deep. He is going to be breaking off some more knowledge. And I want to thank Kevin, who said to thank you, and to Mr. Eddie Harris. Until tomorrow night, I want to thank you. Have a blessed evening. Stay focused.
And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Jesus is love. Down. And I know